things are tight. You're my strength and my heart's desire. You're the light when the sun expires.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Family Sunday. How many kids do we have in the room? Raise your hand. School's out for the summer. Yeah. You kids are excited. Parents, you are, teachers are excited. Parents, maybe, not so much. I don't know. Kids, I am so glad you are with us this morning. I love Family Sundays. And since you are with us, I'm going to need five of you to help me out this morning. Wow, we already got hands raised. I'm going to try and get each section. All right, right here. Come on up. Right there. Come on up. Yep. Right on the end. Come on up. Right there. Yep. Come on up. One more. Yes. Right here. Come on up. Make your way on up. You guys are like, I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. All right. You guys are going to help me this morning. You're each going to play a role in what we're going to do this morning, okay? All right, what's your name?
Ellie.
Let me get this microphone. Ellie. That's right. You can say Ellie.
Ellie.
Perfect. Ellie, you are now amazement, all right? Now, in order to play amazement, you have to be amazed. So show me a face. Show everybody a face that shows amazement. That's pretty good. Hey, that's pretty good right there. All right, what's your name?
Annalie.
All right, you are wonder. Now, in order to play wonder, you have to show a face that is filled with wonder. So show everybody your wonder face. All right. Mouth is open, that works, and awe. All right, we'll take it. All right, what's your name?
Lily.
Lily, you are Peter. Now, I'm sorry. Hey. You're a disciple. You're an apostle. And that's filled with wonder and amazement. I'm just trying to make it good for you. I'm sorry. You're Peter. All right, what's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas. You are lame. Not socially. Physically, not socially, all right? Crippled, all right? These kids are so excited for this. All right, what's your name?
Tatum.
Okay, Tatum, you are John, okay? You are apostles, disciples. All right, he's shaking his head. Okay, so I need amazement and wonder. Come over with me. You're right over here. You're going to be in the temple, okay? My lame man, right here. And you have to play the part, so you have to lay on the ground because you don't have strength in your legs yet, all right? So go ahead. Yep, perfect. Peter and John, my excited disciples. All right, y'all are here, okay? Now, you're going to have to act out and do whatever the story says. I didn't make this up. We're just going to read through Scripture. Whatever the story says, you have to do or say. Sound good? Can we do that? All right, you're going to help us this morning. Here we go. We'll throw it up on the screens. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3 if you want to follow along. Flip there with your Bibles or get the Bible app and you can scroll your way on over there or you can look at it on the screens. Here we go. Y'all ready? All right, here we go. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Come on up, temple's this way. All right, stop right there. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. That's you. You want to wave? That's me. All right. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money.
Ask for money.
That's right. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us."
Look at us.
That's good. All right. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have."
Silver or gold I do not have.
But what I do have, I give you.
What I do have, I give you.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Of Nazareth.
Of Nazareth.
Walk.
Walk.
Taking him by the right hand, He helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Yeah, look at that. He jumped to his feet. Woo! And began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled, here, face this way. Y'all two face this way. And they were filled with wonder. All right, we'll take it. And amazement. Yeah, at what happened to him. Hey, great job. End scene. Great job. Let's give the kids a round of applause. Y'all can go back to your seats. You can keep the cards. Keep the cards. Souvenir for Family Sunday. I know we're high rollers here at Live Oak. What these kids demonstrated for us was this great story we find in Acts chapter 3 of Peter and John. And the reason I like them demonstrating this for us is because I am a visual learner. I learn so much better when I can see things laid out instead of just reading them. So what they showed us was Peter and John, they're heading up to the temple to pray at 3, and they see this man who's been lame from birth, crippled from birth. And the man stops him and says, hey, can I have some money? And he says, money I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the man, they took him by the hand, and the man for the first time ever had strength in his feet and his legs and his ankles, and he stood up and he started walking. Actually, it says he starts jumping, leaping, and praising God, and all three of them go into the temple, and they're all praising God together. Now, this probably occurred pretty soon after Jesus died and was resurrected, rose again on the third day. He ascended up to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit descended in the upper room on all the apostles. This happened pretty close after that. And I wonder, Jesus is now ascended into heaven, and I wonder if Peter and John, they've been following Jesus for the past few years, right? Not just spiritually, like physically following Jesus. Where he goes, they went. Where he says stay, they stay. They're doing everything Jesus said. And I wonder at this point if they were like, well, Jesus isn't here anymore. So what do we do? What happens now? Where do we go from here? What's our calling? I don't know if you've ever asked those questions, but like if you came to know Jesus as Lord and said you repented from your sin and made Jesus Lord of your life, and you get to this point and you say, okay, what now? What do I do? What's my calling? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? I really feel like Peter and John may have had these questions, and that could have been why they actually went up to the temple to pray. Because they're probably wondering, okay, what's next? And when we become Christians, we have these questions, and it's almost like we expect, sometimes it feels like we're joining this membership, right? Like a membership of a gym or a country club. So we expect the people to kind of tell us what everything entails and give us a goodie bag. And I guess in the Christian case, it'd be like, hey, here's a fish emblem. Put it on the back of your bumper sticker or back of the bumper of your car, and make sure you let everybody know you drive for Jesus now. Or you might get a t-shirt, right? Jesus is my homeboy, where he's dabbing on the front. You got to stay culturally relevant as a Christian. Or maybe you change all your radio stations and they have to be K-Love or Air One because now you're a Christian. Or maybe you try and insert Jesus into every single conversation that you have. You get a pamphlet and it's like, this is how you do it, all right? And so somebody asks you, hey, you signed your kid up for T-ball? And you say, no, we are actually on God's team. Let me tell you about Jesus, right? Like, you kind of think like, okay, I need to do all these Christian things and I need to be walked through of how to do this, when I don't think that gives us the answer of what's next? What happens now? What's our calling? Because you can do all those things and they may seem like a Christian, but that's more of conforming rather than transforming. And so I think Peter and John are in this place of what's next? Where do we go from here? But they're not left alone, and they're not They're not abandoned without instruction. Because before Jesus rose up into heaven or ascended into heaven, he gave them some instruction, right? He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything to obey everything I've commanded of you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he also said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? Okay, we experienced that, upper room, Holy Spirit descended. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they have this instruction, but when it comes to making disciples, they might have been like, well, what does that look like? How do we do that? Okay, you shall be my witnesses. What does that look like? How do I be a witness here in Jerusalem? And I wonder if they had these questions leading up as they're going to pray at the temple. How do we fulfill this great commission that God has entrusted to us, that God has commanded us? And I think we find it here in Acts 3. What God likes to do, I call them highs, H-I. It's a holy interruption, right? Like God likes to interrupt our plans and provides us these opportunities. We see it here in Acts 3. We see that Peter and John are heading up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. They are not planning on going to talk to this lame man. They didn't plan out anything when it comes to, they know he's there. He's been there since from birth. People have been laying him at the foot of the gates, and he's been asking for money for years and years. But that's not Peter and John's plan. Their plan is to go to the temple and pray, and then this interruption happens where this man stops them and asks them something. And I wonder if Peter and John are thinking, okay, well, I don't know if we have time for this. We've got to go pray, and that's at 3:00, and then we got to meet Mary at the market because we got to get dinner ready for all the apostles coming over, and we got to talk about what we're doing. Man, we've got a schedule that we got to keep. I don't know if we can just stop and give this man attention at all. Or maybe they're thinking, hey, we're going to the temple to pray. You can just tell this guy, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And God bless you, brother. I'll pray for you. We're heading that way right now, you know, and then just bypass that interruption. Or maybe Peter's like, okay, I don't want to interrupt John's plans. I don't want to put stress on his day. I know he's a busy man. And John's saying, oh, I don't want to interrupt Peter's plans and his schedule and what he has going on for the rest of the day. I don't want to push that back. I don't want to be a bother if we stop and address this man. Instead of thinking of any of those questions, which are probably natural questions that arise, they decide to take a step in courageous faith. They ignore those questions that come up, they suppress them, and they take a step of courageous faith because they remember, okay, God did say, remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age. Okay, Jesus ascended to heaven, but he's still saying, I am with you always. And so what we're going to do in this moment, this holy interruption happens, and they're just going to lean on the presence of God showing up because that's what was promised. They take a step in courageous faith and lean on the presence of God through the Holy Spirit to show up in this moment. They didn't know what they were going to say. They had no idea what they were going to do. This moment happened, this interruption occurred, and they just stepped out with courageous faith. Now, you five kids, raise your hand that came up here. You five kids that did it. All right, and then so many of you also raise your hand. We had a ton of kids raise your hand. Do you guys realize you just taught us something so much? And I'm not talking about like the story up here. You had no idea what I was going to ask you to do. You had no idea what I was going to have you say. Some of you were thrilled about it, some not so much, all right? But you had no idea what you were going to do. But when I asked you to come up here, you immediately raised your hand and you took a step in courageous faith not knowing what's going to happen next, but said, hey, I want to be a part of the story. And that's exactly what God does with us, and his desire for us is to just be part of the story, not knowing what's going to happen, but trusting and leaning that his presence is here and that he is active and moving today. If you read the Bible and you start from Genesis and you go all the way through Revelation, and then you kind of try and take a big summary, a big perspective, okay, what is this whole thing about? You will quickly find out that it has nothing to do with you. It is not a roadmap for your life. It's not a book of rules to follow. It's not the guidelines to adhere to. It has got nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. And what God does is he graciously brings us into his story. And he uses us for his glory. Well, his calling on my life, his calling on your life is that we would just be willing to step out with courageous faith, just like Peter and John did, and be brought into the story so we could be used by him to change others. If you look at Acts 3, starting in verse 6, it says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. We can see this right here, that this story has nothing to do with Peter and John. Because what they do is they say in the name of Jesus. Peter doesn't say, by the power invested in me, a disciple. Like, no, it's all about pointing to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And when we see this man stand up and walk, what does he do? He doesn't point to Peter and John and say, hey, look what these guys just did for me. Look how these guys changed me. No, what happens? He comes walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, all the attention is to God. God is the one at work doing the change, and Peter and John were brought into the story to affect the change, to be used by God to change this man's life. They instigated it through Jesus' name, and then the result of it was praising God and all the people recognizing what's going on of this praise of God and the change that God made in this man's life. You and I, when we have the ability to the opportunity to speak or to act in these little holy interruption moment, when you have the courage to speak about God to others, it's not about you at all. It is all about what God can do through you. Kids, if you're following along on this note page, I want you to look at that bottom line. Having courage to speak about God to others isn't about what you can do, but rather what he can do through you. It's exactly what God wants to do with you. He wants to use you and move in your life to reach others and change others for his glory. Now, there is something that can really hinder us from having this courageous faith, from being willing to step out and say, okay, God, I don't know what I'm about to say. I don't know what we're about to do here. And I don't know what you have planned, but I'm going to step out in courageous faith, lean on your presence being there, and see you show up. What hinders us from that is we allow ourselves to be dictated by the questions that rise up. Now, here's what I mean by that. For the longest time, I have wanted to go on a California trip, okay? Starting up north at the border of Oregon and California, starting in a town called Smith River. I want to work my way down and hit, I think it's Leggett, I don't know how to say it, but it's a town where Highway 1 starts. And then I want to take Highway 1 and I want to go down all the way through California, going to the beach, going through the redwoods, going to the beach, maybe stopping by the mountains, and work my way all the way down Highway 1 till I hit Mexico. And that's been a dream of mine for a long time. I have thought about that trip for years and years. I still have not gone on that trip. Do you know why? Why? Because every season of my life, there's been a question rise up that has hindered me from going. I have allowed these questions such as, I think it started off as like, okay, you're in school. How are you going to accomplish your paper and finish it in time? How are you going to pass this class if you're going to go do this trip, right? Or later on it was, dude, you don't have a job. This trip costs money. How can you afford this trip? That's going to be expensive. That's going to take time. And I'm just talking about gas money. I'm talking about food, everything. Like, you got to do some fun stuff too. So that's expensive. You don't have a job. You can't go on this trip because you can't afford it. These questions would rise up in me. Next season of life was like, hey, what would you do with your kids, right? Like, parents, let's be honest. A vacation without kids and a vacation with kids is totally different, all right? Kids, we love you, but we're just speaking truth here, all right? What are you going to do with your kids? Are they going to be taken care of? How can you leave your kids and go do this trip? Do you take the kids with you? What kind of trip would that look like compared to what you've been planning on, right? And then later on in life, another season of life, it's more like, okay, well, I live in Lubbock now, and I want to do this trip in California, but you've got to be able to surf. You can't do this trip without surfing, right? So I Google surfing lessons in Lubbock, Texas, and nothing shows up. So I say, God, this is not your will for my life. I've got to be able to surf if I'm going to do this trip. And since there's no surfing lessons, I wonder why, in Lubbock, Texas, I can't go on this trip. I have allowed questions to rise up over and over and over again, every time I get the desire to do this trip or I think about this dream trip, I let the questions dictate what I end up doing. It keeps me still. It keeps me in the same place. If I'm honest with you, I'm about to be 30 this summer. If I'm honest with you, I probably could have gone on this trip if I ignored some of those questions and just figured it out. If I was very intentional about doing it, I probably could have gone on this trip. If I suppressed some of those questions, I would have done this California trip already and had taken pictures and videos and would have shared how incredible this trip was. But each season of my life, I allowed these questions to dictate what I did, which was not move, which was to be silent and still. When it comes to having courageous faith, we allow these questions to kind of dictate us. When we have these little holy interruptions, these highs where God is intervening in your life and he's wanting to use you in this moment, we allow these questions to rise up like, what do I even say? I have no idea what I would say to this person. Therefore, since I don't know what to say, I'm going to be silent. I'm going to be quiet because I don't want to embarrass myself. Or I don't want to say the wrong thing to this person. You have another question rise up like, do I even have time for this right now? Right? Like, I've got to go to the grocery store. I've got to pick up food. I've got to bring it back. I've got to start cooking. You run into somebody at the grocery store, and there's just this moment, this little holy interruption. You're like, I don't, it's 10 till. I've got to go. I've got this plan. I've got this schedule. I don't know if I even have time for this right now. And so you ignore it or suppress the interruption, and you obey the question dictating your life or dictating that moment. I think the most common question that rises up for all of us, though, is what will they think of me? Right? Like, we are people who are very concerned of what people think of us. And if you're like, nope, I don't care what people think of me, people probably don't like you. All right? Let's just be honest, okay? But if you're human, you're very concerned with what other people will think of you. And when that question rises up, what will people think of me? You start thinking, man, I don't want to ruin this friendship. I don't want to make things awkward with a coworker or with my boss. I don't want our neighbors to treat me differently or to treat our family differently. And so when this interruption happens, you think about what the perspective is of the person, and you allow it to just suppress yourself, to be still, and you don't move, and you don't speak. And that question ends up dictating your life. And that part really is not the question, it's the person. The person ends up dictating your faith and acting or speaking on your faith. If we are to have courageous faith, stepping out in kind of the unknown, we've got to be willing to suppress and ignore some of these questions that our flesh brings up inside of us. There's another thing that really keeps us or hinders us from having courageous faith. We allow ourselves to doubt our legitimacy. What I mean by that, you're like, man, I am not a good talker. I'm not a good speaker. I don't have a gift when it comes to wisdom or discernment, so I am not legitimate enough to be able to engage and say yes in a courageous faith step. I'm going to reserve myself and keep myself back from saying or doing anything because I'm not legitimate enough there. I have not met the standard of where I need to be at. There's a lot of us there. But I want you to look at Acts 4:13, because this is Peter and John, the people who we just saw and be used by God. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and discovered that they were uneducated and ordinary men. Do you see that? Uneducated and ordinary men. God used uneducated and ordinary men to change someone, to change someone's life. If you doubt your legitimacy, know that God just used Peter and John. Do you know what Peter's profession was? He was a fisherman, all right? He probably smelled. God used him and he used John to reach this man's life. This little holy interruption occurred. If you doubt your legitimacy, I will say you kind of are on the right path, because on our own, we are incapable, right? On our own, we don't have this ability or this power to see lives change. But because of Jesus and his legitimacy and his power, it is him working through us, and all glory is given to him. He makes us legitimate. Don't doubt yourself whatsoever that you can be used by God. I say, man, I'm not gifted in these areas. Steps of courageous faith we see over and over in the Bible are taken from men who are just ordinary and uneducated. God tends to love using those people. People like you and people like me. Something that really benefits the church, and when I mean church, I mean like the people of God, body of believers. I'm not just talking about Live Oak here, but I'm talking about people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Something that really benefits us when it comes to actually taking that step of courageous faith, acting on it, growing in faith. When we hear stories, just like Acts 3, or when we hear stories from you, from people that we know, where God took them and changed them, or God took them, used them to change other people's lives. Do you know what it does for me? I need you to share those stories, because what it does for me, it reminds me of who my God is and what he is currently doing, actively doing in our world today. There's a lot of evil in our world. If you go on news, if you go on social media, you will see a ton of evil, and it can be depressing. But God is still at work and doing incredible things today. People are still acting in courageous faith today, and God is using them to change people's lives. What I need you to do for me, just as your brother in Christ, I need you to share those stories. Share what God has done with you, or God has used you to change people's lives. I've heard it this week has been incredible. This week, maybe it's just because God was taking us through this, but so many people were talking to me about their courageous faith that they either took a step in or that somebody took a step in and affected them. It's been so encouraging and uplifting, and it's such a great reminder of who my God is. And you know what else it does for me? It doesn't just remind me of who God is or what he's capable of doing, but it helps me trust him that when I do face difficulties, when I do face hardships, I'm reminded of your story and how God is actively working in you or changing you and moving you and changing other people. And I've got more trust in God because I'm going to assume he is actively at work in the situation I currently am in. So I'm going to try and walk in courageous faith, trusting that God's got it and he's actively moving because I'm encouraged by your story. When you share your story with others, it encourages them to walk in faith. And here's the other part of that. When you share your story with others, how God's moved in your life or how God has used you to change others, you help people mature spiritually in their faith. Because the trust that they put in God, and no matter what situation it is, grows them as a disciple of Christ. God wants to use you in incredible ways for his glory, and he wants to bring you in to his story. But we tend to make ourselves silent, quiet Christians, not willing to move, not willing to step in faith, not willing to lean on the Holy Spirit showing up and providing the words, providing the actions. This can be detrimental to our faith, where we are not active Christians, we are stagnant. That's not God's plan for your life. God didn't redeem you by the blood of Jesus so that you could be quiet and still. Don't use that verse in Psalms where it's like, be still and know that I am God. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be still. When people are in need of the Lord and need of the gospel and he wants to use you, there's no coincidence that you're in Lubbock, Texas. Peter and John were in Jerusalem. That was their calling. That's what God called them to. And there's no coincidence that you're in Lubbock, Texas. I would say God has called you to Lubbock, Texas, at your neighborhood, at your place of work, in this city, because he wants to use you here. Go and make disciples of all nations. Your nation is Lubbock. And the people that are surrounded by you are in need of the good gospel of Jesus Christ. We have got to start taking steps of courageous faith, acting on what we believe instead of just knowing it in our hearts and in our minds, but not speaking, being quiet. These kids just demonstrated it for us. We need to become like children where we just say, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm about to say. I don't know what I'm about to do, but I want to be part of the story. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to be part of the story. And it'd be incredible to see and hear what God does with you and to be able to share that in the lives that are changed beyond that. This summer, we are digging through a series called Finish Line Faith. Sorry, before I get there, I forgot. Before we get to the next series, I want to share with us one more verse. And it's when you share these stories, when you share life change, when you share with others what it does to the church, what it does to the body of believers. So Peter and John just shared with the church and all the body of believers of what just happened, of what occurred. And there's so much more to the story. I encourage you to dig through the rest of chapter 3 and dig through chapter 4. But in Acts 4:31, it says, they were all filled. This is the church. This is the body of believers. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. When you share what God does in your life, you encourage others to speak the word of God boldly. You give them courage. You give them the kind of motivation to step out in faith and live by faith. Now, this summer, when we go through 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy is all about finish line faith, right? Like when we go and follow Jesus and we try and live out courageous faith, it can be difficult. It can be hard. How do you sustain that for the rest of your life while you're temporarily here on earth? This summer is a great opportunity to dig through 2 Timothy, what Paul wrote to his little, I would say, Padawan. He was the Jedi Master, and wrote to his Padawan, his guy in training, trying to encourage him, hey, don't quit. Keep going. A finish line faith. We're going to go through hardships, but God's going to provide the wisdom to overcome those hardships. That's what we're digging through this summer, and I want to encourage all of you to be a part of that and learn with me through that. All right, let's stand together for closing prayer. Father, I'm so thankful for your love, your intentionality with us. God, I am so thankful for the graciousness you show us of bringing us into your story. We have not earned that. There's no way we deserve that. But that is out of your graciousness and love to want to use us. God, I pray that while we're here in Lubbock, that you use us to reach people here that you've placed in our neighborhoods, in our work, in our surroundings. Lord, every person we come into contact with, I pray that you use us and interrupt our lives, our busy schedules, and give us the kind of courageous faith to take a step out, not knowing what we're going to say or what we're going to do, but just to open up our mouths, and we ask that you speak through us. We ask that you move through our lives. And God, give us the courage to share that with others, to share what you do and how you're working today. How encouraging that is to hear. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. See you guys next week.